title of my message is The Messiah, the Christ. The Messiah, the Christ. And we see this passage of scripture here in 1 John 5. And I'm reading from, I can't remember which version now. I think it's the Living Bible version. And I'm reading from that version. And it says this: every person who believes that Jesus is in fact the Messiah is begotten or born of God. Is that okay? Every person who believes in Jesus, the Messiah, is born of God. If we love the one who conceives the child, we'll surely love the child who was conceived. In other words, if we love the Father God who conceived the Son through the Holy Spirit, then we will love the Son. Amen? That's what it says. The reality test is this. Here we are. The reality test on whether or not we love God's children is this. Are you ready for this? Do we love God? Do we keep His commandments or His commands? The proof that we love God comes when we keep His commandments and they are not at all troublesome. I like that. The proof that we love God comes when we keep His commandments and they are not at all troublesome or burdensome. So my first point this morning is, do we believe that Jesus is the Messiah? That's the first point. Do we believe? And if you looked at the Hebrew word for Messiah, it comes from the word Mashiach, which means the anointed one or chosen one. And in the Greek, we know the term we call the name Christos in the Greek, or in English, Christ. That's where it comes from. Mashiach, the anointed one or the chosen one. And we know the scriptures talk a lot about the coming Messiah. If you look at scripture, if you look at the prophecies, you would notice that a Messiah was needed to deliver humanity from sin and Satan's rule. Why? Because from the beginning of time, due to the sin of Adam, man fell into sin. And so that Adamic nature had to be dealt with by one person. And he was the Messiah who was sent to us from God the Father. And so we know that the Bible talks about the Messiah. If you look at the book of Isaiah, you will see prophecy after prophecy about the coming of the Messiah. So let's look at Isaiah 40 and verse 3. And it says this in the Amplified: a voice of one who cries, prepare in the wilderness the way of the Lord. Clear away the obstacles. Make straight and smooth in the desert a highway for our God. And here he's talking about John the Baptist. Remember John the Baptist? We read about him in Matthew's Gospel, in John's Gospel, who came to declare the Messiah. He was the voice of one crying in the wilderness, in the condition where there was nothing around. It was all dry and arid. He was the one who was bringing a message of hope, a message of peace, a message that was crying out to people. And he was that voice. And he said, make straight the way of the Lord, or make room for the way of the Lord, because the Messiah is come. And people didn't realize that the Messiah was right there in their midst, walking with them and talking with them. Sadly, though, we see the Jews, they did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah, the anointed one. Or else, they would not have crucified him, would they? If they only knew that this Jesus, who was walking amongst them, talking to them, doing amazing miracles, was the anointed one, was the Messiah, they would not have crucified him. You know what they thought? They thought their deliverer would come in kingly fashion. They couldn't understand how Jesus could be born in a stinking stable, in a place where you keep cattle and sheep, where there is poo, you know, and smells terrible. They couldn't believe that a Messiah or a king could come out of that situation. They were expecting somebody from a palace to be born. But here's the thing. God did not give up on the children of Israel. He gives them a sign. Isn't God amazing? God gives them a sign. We read that in Isaiah chapter 7. Have a look at Isaiah 7 verses 13 to 14. And this is in the time of King Ahaz. And Isaiah tells King Ahaz, he says, "Then listen to this. Government of David, it's bad enough that you make people tired with your pious." This is from the Message, by the way. I like the Message in this one. It says, "Listen, government of David, it's bad enough that you make people tired with your pious, timid hypocrisies. But now you're making God tired." I like that. You're making God tired. So the master is going to give you a sign. Why? Because David did not believe in the coming of the Messiah. They were living their own lives. And they were making God just tired now. So he says, look, God is, the master is going to give you a sign anyway. Watch for this. A girl who is presently a virgin will get pregnant. She'll bear a son and name him Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Isn't that God amazing? That he did not leave the children of Israel. He did not leave them in that state. But he said, despite all your disobedience, despite all the stuff that you do by yourself, the fact that you disown me, the fact that you want to follow after me, I still am concerned over your life. I'm still willing to give you a sign. It's a time when people are living in fear. They were surrounded with the threat of war. And God, through his prophet, gives Israel a sign of the Messiah. And here's something we can take from that. That when we go through times of fear and testing and hardship, you know, when we go through times that are difficult in life, we have a sign from God. And that is the Messiah through Jesus Christ. God gives us a sign even today. And he says, you have Jesus Christ, my son, who is with you always. And so we know that when we go through times of fear, when we are anxious, that we can rely on God to give us a sign. And that sign is Jesus Christ. And we know that all is well because Christ has already taken care of yours and my situation. It's already been dealt with. It's already been paid for, not with anything else, but with his precious blood. That's what he's done. He's taken care of it. And he says this in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Paul writing here, he says, a very useful scripture. If you haven't underlined it in your Bible, underline it, color it, write it out. Here's a good one. He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. I like that. He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. So he's not negating the fact that you will get worried at times, but instead of staying in your worry, which doesn't help you anyway, start praying. Isn't that good? Can I get an amen? You're very quiet this morning. Maybe I should ask for more testimonies. Instead, pray. Tell God your needs and don't forget to thank him for his answers. I like that bit too. Don't forget to thank the Lord for every time he's answered prayer. That's why I brought Cedric up here today. We need to give thanks to the Lord because of God's answer to prayer. Amen? God's answer to prayer. Let's never forget to be thankful. So the Bible tells us, pray about everything. Does that mean everything? Everything. And that means everything. It can be the simplest thing. It can be the most confusing thing. It can be the most silly thing that you could ever think of. In God's eyes, it really doesn't matter. Silly or not, confused or not, God still wants us to ask in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Tell God your needs and don't forget to thank Him. You and I can put our trust in the Christ, the Messiah. Hallelujah. Why? Because He loves us. He loves you. He cares for you. Let's not be like those unbelieving Jews. But let's believe this morning that Jesus, the Son of God, is alive today. Because we know He is alive in you. In me, tell your neighbor, did you know Jesus is alive in you? He's alive in you. Wow. Let's take a moment to get that revelation. Tell your neighbor again, Jesus is alive in you. So come on, shake it all up, you know, shake off that unbelief, shake off that disappointment, shake off that stuff that's trying to get a hold of you and declare that Jesus is alive in me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Isaiah 46, verses 9 to 10, God declares Himself as the only God, and there is no one like Him. There is no one else like Him. He declares Himself as the only true and living God. The name Emmanuel, we know, means God with us. What an amazing comfort and confidence. We sang about that the confidence today. This is my confidence. You've never failed me yet. God is a God who will never fail you. Because He is where? Not up there somewhere floating. He is with you. Tell your neighbor, He is with you. He's Emmanuel, God with you, God in you, God for you, God beside you, God around you, God above you, God beneath you, God that surrounds you. That's who God, Emmanuel, Christ the Lord with us. He abides with us forever. John 14 and 16 tells us that through the Spirit of God, through the Holy Spirit, He abides with us forever. Not for a season, but for, does that mean eternity? Absolutely, forever. Do we really believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah? Yes. Hallelujah. He is Christ, God's Son. The second point is this. According to that scripture, we see here's the reality test on whether or not we love God's children. Here it is. Do we love God? Do we really love God? How much do we love God and the things of God? We talk about the love of God. We talk about God loving us. We talk about so much about God's love. And sometimes it's just misinterpreted because people say, well, you know, I can do anything because God still loves me. So I can get into whatever situation or sin I want to, you know, because God still loves me. Yes, He loves the sinner, but He hates the sin. He came for the sinner to take care of the sin. So the sinner can come through Jesus and be born again, be saved, or come out on the other side knowing God the Father. So God the Father hates sin. We know that. But He still loves each and every one of us in spite of our situation and our conditions. So praise God for that. Mark 12 and verse 30 says, "And you must love Him." With what? With all your heart and soul and mind and strength. Now that tells me you got to love Him with everything you are. Purely and simply. You just got to love God for who He is. He's not a seasonal God. He's not a paracetamol God. He's not a God when things are going down that you say, oh God help me. He's a God of all the seasons. He's a God from eternity to eternity to eternity. God is God. And sometimes it takes that we cannot understand the mind of God. We cannot understand the way God does things. I try and fathom things out. I think, God, why aren't you doing things like this? God, we've done this in this way. We've been here for so many, months. And God, what's happening? But God has his way. God is sovereign in what he does. And sometimes he makes us wait patiently. I would say that's scripture in Psalm says, wait patiently for God. Wait patiently for God. And sometimes it's a question of waiting patiently. How many of us have patience? We live in a society that are very impatient. Correct? So we've kind of been molded into being impatient because that's what society is. They want it now. They want things now. But God says, be patient. Wait for my time. You know why we are able to love God? It's because God loved us first. That's why. He gave his love for us. He sent his son Jesus. Even when we were not deserving of it, God still decided to send Jesus. Why? Because he loved us first. 1 John 4:19 tells me that. When you love someone, what do? You prioritize them, don't you? You don't go prioritizing every Dick, Tom, Harry. You prioritize the person you're in love with. Why? There is a reason. They come first. If you watch two people who are in love, they see, they hear, they smell, they talk, they walk, they go places together. They have eyes for each other. They can blank out the whole world when they're together. Am I right? Come on now. You've all been in love, haven't you? Don't look at me so, thinking, what are you talking about? It's good to get some, grassroots here, get down to the bare essentials. An amazing change happens when a person loves someone. Our evidence of loving God should be real. And people should see that reality in us. Because there's no point in my saying, God, I love you, I love you, I love you. But my relationship with other people is terrible. It does not reflect the Father heart or the love of God the Father. It doesn't reflect it. And sadly, many people, even Christians, think that they can do whatever they like and fall out with people and treat people badly and still say, God, I still love you. God, I love you with all my heart. And go, And I'll tell you why in a little while. I have a good scripture for that. When you love a person, you don't want to hurt them. When we truly love God, we will not want to hurt God by rejecting him or disobeying his word. That's the second thing we see there, and I'll come to that. We might ask, how do we disobey God? How can we hurt God who is awesome, who is mighty, who is powerful? How can we hurt him? You know how we can hurt him? When we love other things above Jesus. When we spend our time on other things above Jesus. When we spend our wealth or our time or our energy on things that do not please Jesus. That's when we are hurting Jesus. God created us to love him wholeheartedly, wholly. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23, we read this. 1 Thessalonians 5 in the message and verse 23, we read this. May God himself, the God who makes everything holy and whole, in other words, complete, make you holy and whole or complete. In other words, separate you from profane things, from sinful things. Separate you from things that are sinful and profane. And may he put you together, spirit, soul, and body. All three. Spirit, soul, and body. Our spirit communicates with the Spirit of God. We are spirit. When we die, we don't just go into nothing. Our spirit still lives, our flesh dies. Our soul is our mind, our intellect, our emotions. It's how we choose things, how we feel about things. Our body is, well, we can see that. But it's the part that that is easily led into profane things, into things that are not of God. It's easily led into things. Why? Because we want to gratify or satisfy this fleshly desire. And that's why people get into all sorts of things today. We don't have to look very far for what the enemy has twisted and turned things that God created for good. And he blessed something like marriage, something like sexual identity. God created it. God blessed it. And today the enemy has twisted it. He's stolen it. Whatever God intended for good, the enemy has stolen. And he now produces a counterfeit. And we should be aware of that. It's only God, as his scripture says, only God himself can make us holy. And he can put us together, spirit, soul, and body. And it says in the last line, it says, and keep you fit for the coming of our Master, Jesus Christ. God can keep us fit for the coming of our Master, Jesus Christ. Only he can do it. We can try it by our own strength, but I tell you, you will fail. If you try to be holy on your own, if you think I can lead a righteous life on my own, you'll fail miserably. Because unless God, the Spirit of God, enables you, you won't be able to do it. Why? Because our sinful nature is so powerful in us that we tend to always veer towards that sinful nature. But God, through Jesus Christ, can transform our lives. Amen? Are you okay with that? When we truly love God, what will happen? We will prioritize our time for him. We will prioritize the things of God. We'll prioritize the house of God. We'll prioritize the people of God. When we love God, no one need tell us to evangelize. No one need tell us to go and share the gospel of Jesus. Because the love for God, the love for Jesus will compel us to talk about him. We want to go from house to house. We want to get involved in the things of God. Why? That's because that passion for Jesus is in us because of our love for God the Father. God is love. That's his nature. His nature is to love us. And he loves you this morning. Jesus loves you this morning. And the answer to that question, do we really love God? That can only come from us individually. Only you know how you respond to God the Father. I don't know how you respond to him. As you know, Jenny and I, we have been away over the past 3 weekends. We were not on holiday, but we were serving the people in the area of marriage. That's what we were doing. We were serving people, trying to bring deliverance, bring healing, bring teaching into married couples. Why? Because we believe in marriage. We believe that's God's ordinance of marriage. He put man and a woman together, and the enemy is trying to steal that as well. And we want to teach people how to live and stay married. Why? Because God's design and purpose for marriage not only enriches their marriage once they get to know it and understand it, through that it builds society. It builds society. Hallelujah. And not only that, it builds generations to come. Because the foundations are right. When the foundations are right, the generations to come will be blessed. Amen. Here's a third one. And it's very simple there. We see it straight away in Scripture. Do we love God? The second one is this. Do we keep his commands? Do we keep his commands? When we love God genuinely, it is not difficult to keep his commands. Jesus said this in John 14 and 15. If you love me really, in the Amplified, if you love me really, you will keep or obey my commands. If you love me really, you will obey my commands. And Jesus said this, two great foundational commandments, two great foundational truths. Write this down, underline it. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, verses 37 to 40, Jesus said this. And he says, everything else hangs on these two commandments. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. How do we love God? With all our heart, soul, and mind. In other words, with everything that we are. This is the first and greatest commandment. What's the first and greatest commandment? To love the Lord your God with all your heart. The second is as important as the first. And he says this, love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. If we do not love our neighbor, there's no way we can love God. Let me put it out there. I was speaking to someone recently, and they were saying how even in churches where people don't tend to like someone or want to speak to somebody, I says, how can that be? You cannot love God if you cannot love people, because God is about people. In spite of us not loving God, he still loved us. And that's his expectation of us. That we may not like to rub shoulders with some, but God still expects us to love them with the God kind of love, because he loves them. Many times when I see someone, I say, oh, you know, something goes through my head and I think, I don't like the way that person dresses. I don't like the way that person stands. I say, God, I'm sorry. God, you still love that person with all the tattoos, with all the piercings, with all the stuff they put on themselves. God, you still love them. And God, help me to love them the way they are. You know, I got to pray that prayer always. Because I don't want to get caught out trying to judge someone just because of the way they look. They might be tattooed up from head to toe, but they might still love God with all their heart. Who am I to look at the exterior and say, you don't love God, look at the way you look. And sometimes we got to catch ourselves before we say it or pass judgment. In verse 40, it says this, all the other commandments and all the demands of the prophets stem from these two laws and are fulfilled. Look at this. If you obey them. If you obey these two laws, what's the first one? Love the Lord your God with everything you are and everything you have. And the second one is love your neighbor. Love the person God has brought into your life. Love the person down your street. Love the person you might think, man, I don't want to see that person again. But just, you don't have to go overboard with somebody. Just got to say, God loves you and I don't have anything against you. And he says, keep only these and you will find that you're obeying all the others. If you keep only these two commands, you will find that you are obeying automatically. You are obeying everything else. Hallelujah. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? The fruit of the Spirit in Philippians chapter 5 tells you the same thing. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, temperance, long-suffering. All that, you know, the fruit of the Spirit. And he says at the end there, you don't need a law. If you keep to these, you don't need the law. Because these will keep you on the right side of the law, always. Hallelujah. The question is this. Is it that simple to keep God's commands? Here's the thing. No human being with this fallen nature can possibly love God with all his heart, soul, and strength. 24/7. Is it possible? It's humanly impossible. It's humanly impossible. And we know to disobey God is sin and his commands. That's why Jesus reminded the Pharisees of the inability to keep the law of God. He was trying to get them to see their spiritual bankruptcy, their need for a Savior. With our own strength, we can't do it. You and I, we need the Messiah, we need the Savior. With Him, we can. When we know that our sins have been forgiven by the blood that Jesus shed for us, you and I can have the ability to love God with all our heart, but not in our own strength, not in our own pitiful humanity. We need God in us to love Him. We cannot love someone we don't know. We got to know Jesus first. That has to be our priority. And those who take God seriously, who prioritize righteousness, who practice righteousness, they seriously take the commands to love Him above all else. They are those who are consumed with the things of God. And you will see it in people. They don't have to shout about it. You will see it. And how do we know that? Because they will be eager to study the Word of God. They'll be eager to pray. They'll be eager to honor one another. They'll be eager to discipline their lives to follow Jesus. Today, you and I can experience the amazing Messiah, Jesus Christ. It starts with loving Him. It was love that brought Jesus to humanity. And all God wants for us is to love Him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, and love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Can we do that? Can we do that? Can we, coming into this season of Christmas, talk about this Messiah and love people, not just talk about Him, but show them what love really is. When we encounter Jesus and when we obey His commandments, we will be changed from the inside out. Let's stand together this morning.
Still.